Welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode number 9, recorded on January 8th, 2013. Game on! In this episode, we talk about NHL hockey, believe it or not. We also talk about football south of the border, the new pitcher for the Blue Jays, and more. It's all coming up next.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Schoenberger in not-so-snowy St. Paul, Alberta. Who else is with us in the show this evening?
Well, I'm Father Daryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan, and thank you for rescuing me, Father Andrew, because I was stumbling out of the gate. I couldn't make a proper intro, so Father Andrew just filled in. Thank you very much.
And how's the weather there?
The weather here is cold and snowy and rather windy today, and in Saskatchewan, especially southern Saskatchewan, there are a pile of travel not recommended advisories out. How are you in St. Paul?
Oh, not too bad. I mean, there was a little bit of snow yesterday. The roads were pretty bad this morning, but otherwise I think it's okay. Things are going well.
Things people in Canada talk about. Weather, and maybe a bit of sports too. Father Travis Mirheim in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. Hello, Father Travis.
It's very good skating weather here, Father Daryl. Thanks.
That's great. Are you foreshadowing something we'll be talking about later on in the show?
I'm not, no.
Figure skating? Excellent. And Father Jeffrey Young in Saskatoon, how are you doing, Father Jeff?
I'm doing wonderful. Merry Christmas. And I just thought I would share with the listeners not from Saskatchewan, there's always a travel advisory to stay away from southern and northern Saskatchewan. Basically, you just want to focus on Saskatoon. The rest is kind of dangerous, little dingy.
Actually, the surrounding area around Saskatoon had an advisory as well today.
Basically, you want to just airdrop into Saskatoon. It's like kind of like Berlin before the fall of the wall.
Okay? Yeah. Sounds good.
You know, but Father Daryl, I have to go back to something you just said there about we're going to be talking about figure skating. But we really know that according to one person's view on this show,
not a real sport. So we're not going to be talking about that. We're not also going to talk about chess or, you know, water polo / NASCAR driving.
Water polo? How is that not a sport? That's like two teams playing hockey rules, but in the pool.
It's not, you're not using your legs.
Oh my goodness. That water polo is probably like the hardest sport ever. Anyway, but we've got some breaking news for you. After 113 long, excruciating days, the NHL lockout is
over.
Over.
It's not been ratified yet.
Oh, it hasn't been ratified yet. So I'm premature doing the applause here. Sorry about that. Yeah. No, so it hasn't been ratified yet, but you really think they're not going to ratify the tentative agreement?
And the unions rejoiced.
Yay. Yes. So what are your feelings about this? Because from what I've been seeing on the news and whatever, there have been a lot of mixed feelings. Relief, elation, joy, cynicism, etc. What are your feelings about this?
How
about
you, Father? Confusion, because I can't figure out how they're only going to have like half of a season, just sort of throw half the games in and then call the playoffs.
Yeah, they did that back in, what was it, 95 as well, right? I think it was almost identical 48-game season.
Yeah, they just cut the season and they play a 48-game regular season.
Now, of course, back in the day, they used to do a 50-game season regularly, like the era of Maurice Richard and all that stuff.
Yeah, but in 95, if I'm not mistaken, the regular season, like before the lockout, was 84 games, and now we're down to 82. So seasons are actually shorter, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, like for a long time, it was 84, I believe, the NHL seasons. And then it went down to 82 more recently since the last lockout.
Okay.
But anyways, the seasons, it won't change anything except for the playoff race basically starts January, whatever, 16th, whenever the season starts. It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
It will be because, I mean, pretty much every game is going to have some definite meaning to it now.
Yeah. And I don't know how it's going to look for the schedule, but they're going to be playing mostly like divisional conference games, probably exclusively, Travis. So that's how they're going to kind of get around those extra 30 games. They're probably not going to be flying over to play the other conference once or whatever they have. So that itself will be make it more competitive within the divisions and conferences, which is good. I think good for hockey.
That's exactly what I had heard as well, that it will only be play within the conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So it's more like is that more like NFL or college football
or baseball for that matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
It's most of the sports, but. The other interesting thing, and I don't know, this is why I want to see what actually happens. One of the discussions in the last kind of go back and forth session that they had there was talking about allowing more teams to make the playoffs. That was one of the things that the players requested, which is actually a good idea. Makes more money for everyone, like for owners, for one.
Right.
More teams make playoffs, you get more playoff games and more potential. But also...
Did that actually make it in, though? I didn't think so.
I don't know if it got in or if it's something that they're going to look at in the coming years and they agreed to that. But I wish they would also go back to the playoff divisional play, that you play your way out of your division like they had in the old days, right? Like, so the Oilers and the Flames make the playoffs. They're playing each other in the first round or before they advance on. But that'd be kind of interesting.
I agree with that, actually. Yeah. Father Andrew, what are your thoughts, initial feelings, reactions, et cetera?
I don't know.
That's great.
We'll see.
All right.
Sorry, not much to add.
Not much to add. I mean, I was quite excited, still quite excited, because I very much enjoy watching hockey.
I'm bored out of my mind. I need hockey.
I just kept thinking it's a 6 long months before the CFL preseason.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't as excited as I am now until I got the taste of it from the World Juniors. I really enjoyed watching hockey. I forgot how much I missed it.
Right.
And now that's why I'm excited, because I like I don't really watch the games live until maybe the playoffs, but I'll tape the games, and it's nice, like, on a Tuesday evening, I wouldn't mind being able to catch, you know, an hour or something of a Flames-Oiler game in the evening, right? There's nothing on.
Why would you want to watch Calgary lose? Oh, right. That's exactly what you want to watch.
Oh, that's right. Even though the Flames have been useless the last 10 years, they do always win the season series against the Oilers. That's right. And they
finish. They always? What's this? Always? I think I heard a word that really is historically incorrect.
Since the both teams have been slumping up, missing the playoffs for a while, but the last like 8 seasons, I don't think the Oilers have won a series in recent memory. But you can challenge me on that. Look that up there, quiet guy from the north.
You mean besides when they just won the Stanley Cup in 2000 and what was that, 6?
Yeah. No, I said the season series. Like, so when the Flames...
Oh, okay, sorry.
I think even that year the Flames beat them in the regular season.
Well, here's a little stat that I heard on TSN. And just for giving our listeners some context, Father Jeffrey and myself are... big fans of the Calgary Flames. Father Andrew, I believe, is a big fan of the Edmonton Oilers. Father Travis, who is your team?
Jets.
I'm fine with the Jets, too.
I like the Jets, yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Edmonton too many years to cheer for the Oilers, and so I'm a Flames fan.
Oh, my goodness. So we have a Battle of Alberta going on here. This is great. Well, on TSN, I heard a stat from last season. The Canadian team that was closest to making the playoffs, because the last season, of course, the two teams that made the playoffs were... Let's throw them out there.
The Canadian teams?
Yes, sorry. Canadian teams that made the playoffs were...
Vancouver and Ottawa.
And Ottawa, that's correct. So the next team in Canada that was closest to making it to the playoffs were the Calgary Flames. 5 points out. The next team behind that were actually the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
They were very close. Hey, we were ahead of the Blue Jackets.
Well, this is true.
Yeah, you and almost the whole country. The whole league.
Besides...
Yeah, okay, so you were ahead of the Blue Jackets.
But if you look at it this way, though, look, objectively speaking, yes, we were worse last year. Who has the better future, though?
Well, until they start, like, stopping goals being scored against them, it doesn't matter what they have up front. They've got an incredible offensive future, but they don't look... I mean, Dubnyk's okay, but I don't know. They don't have much for goaltending defense in the future other than Schultz. And what's that other guy's name? on defense that's rather decent, but not that good.
What, Ryan Whitney?
Whitney's okay, but he's not long-term. He's not a future. That's not part of that
process. You're talking about Peckham?
He's more of a – yeah, they're more like – they're Band-Aid solutions. They're not
– realize, like, we have a couple of really good prospects coming up for goaltenders too.
Who's that?
Well, you have Yann Denis, Olivier Waugh, among others.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things that Edmonton might have to its advantage, at least in the early stages of the season, are a number of their young players are well into game form, having played in the AHL.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
Oilers, here, Father Andrew, make your prediction. Are the Oilers going to make the playoffs in this short season?
I would rather let... the season unfold.
Well, the TSN.ca poll is right now showing 76.6% of the respondents say yes, they will make the playoffs.
Well, the thing about the Oilers is that they have I think they had the most number of players that were actually active in the offseason. And especially when you think that their top four players were all on the Oklahoma City Barons playing, two of which... Now, granted, they should have been, were the top point getters in the league, the AHL. And then you also had Neil Yakupov playing full-time in the KHL, among others. So it's looks positive anyway. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. The Flames actually do have some prospects that they can be pretty excited about, too. I think the big question will be whether or not Jerome McGinley gets re-signed, because I think he's a free agent after this season.
Yeah, if they're not in the actual playoff hunt, or they're even a few points out of it, 20, 30 games from now, whenever the trade deadline happens,
right?
McGinley will be moved.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Playoff contender and probably Kiprusoff.
Yeah,
and they would probably move into a full-on rebuilding mode, but it doesn't seem like it with the way they're signing guys like Hudler, and they signed Sven Barchi, who was a kind of a guy that was played in, I think he was in Sweden or the KHL, and doing very well, and there was a bidding war. So they spent quite a bit of money on these guys that are late 20s, 30s. Like, it doesn't look like they're rebuilding, and so it's kind of...
Yeah, like Dennis Weidman. Was a big signing. They paid a lot for him, though.
And they still got Bowmeister's salary, so they would have to really... They can't really go full rebuilding mode, not with these salaries, so they're kind of committed to that. But the thing is, like, if you take Kiprusoff out of the picture, the Flames are thing killers at the bottom of the basement. Like, I'm not joking, but I just mean, without the gold, like, Kiprusoff, he masks so many problems with the the Flames that you take him out of the picture, they're the bottom of the basement team. But because when he's in there, like, he usually doesn't let in more than a goal or two. And so he kind of masks the problems they have down like the center, also aging team. And so I would prefer that if this is like their last chance to really make a playoff run. With the kind of the core, like the Kipper again, the core. And if they're failing, or they, after this year is done, I would just like them to switch into rebuilding mode and try to play like a young, gritty team that is competitive, but don't make these big signing purchases like these guys. It's just, that's my opinion. I think you got to rebuild like the Oilers. The Oilers are trying to do what that's the reality. But
Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins a few years ago did something like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they got the top pick even in the lockout. We're not going to get that.
I just throw something out there? Speaking of lockout, it's just really nice to actually be talking about hockey finally.
Yeah, actual real players.
Yeah,
and
Father Jeff, you had done a calculation too. So we, the last lockout went for what, 113 days, and how long do we have until the next lockout?
Right. Let me just bring this up again here with my monkey on my calculator. Okay,
8 years, 5 months, and.
Yeah, no, it's
22 days.
Well, to be precise, please, precise, there'll be 2,922 days, roughly, until the next lockout, which is
inevitable. Whoa. You just said that I am not being precise just because I used a different form of measurement, and then you used the word roughly behind your number.
Roughly.
I think you added a full year, Father Andrew. Because it's actually more like 7.5 years. If that's as if they go with the 8-year
absolute thing.
But they both have to actually agree to end it at that time.
No. One can opt out.
Okay, we got away from talking about hockey.
No, well, that's the good question, though. The opt out option. So it's eight. It's a 10-year deal, but you can opt out at 8. I believe either side can opt out at 8.
Right, so, and they have to give notice at 6 years, actually.
Oh, okay, jeez. Okay.
So they have to give notice that they want to get out after 8 years, 6 years into the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 years from now, they should be working on the next deal, regardless of whether they think someone's going to opt out anyway. So, like, they should be meeting for 2-3 years, listing your grievances and working on it so it happens again.
It's the Festivus for the rest of us.
The league is, I don't know. There's a lot of fear out there that it won't recover. Like, it barely even recovered from the last lockout.
It's okay. He won't be around in the league.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Don Fear, because he's in his 60s, so he'd probably retire by it before the current contract runs out. And Gary Bettman, I honestly don't know. I suspect he probably won't be around then either. Just a hunch.
Yeah, I would.
Now, this is where you need to put the cheering.
Oh. Yeah, here's the hope and...
Oh wait, that's the wrong sound effect.
I think Bettman.
We can pour a beer. Why not?
Bettman, other than getting a
All right.
Yeah, like other than getting a salary cap in, which I mean, that's a no brainer. That and he had a fight for that. That was non-negotiable. He's been really bad for the NHL. Like all the southern markets, which are causing all the problems. Being the most reluctantly, like, look at the Jets. The Jets are going to be a great success story, and nobody fought against it more than Bettman because it proved him wrong. Proved his whole model wrong, that you could go down to a huge city in the South and it would sell down there. They were giving tickets away. They could get like 6,000 people at these games, Carolina and Phoenix and stuff, and they're giving tickets away. And then why not have a successful team with even 15,000 people in the arena, like you have in Winnipeg or whatever? That it just, Bettman's an idiot.
Although, to be fair with him, on this latest lockout, all 30 owners voted in favor of it. So he was kind of more or less doing what they said to do there.
No, I agree. But his stupidity in the past has forced another lockout. Like, this is, and why can't they, what's frustrating with this deal is not really that, I mean, I think both sides compromise, but there's no reason why those compromises couldn't have happened, you know, last summer. Like there was nothing really gained from the owner's side. Like they got this salary variance thing for 8-year contracts, which you could probably, that probably would have been agreed upon a long time ago, but they were pushing for 6-year length contracts. Right. And yeah. They eventually pushed it, you know, they gave on that, the NHL, and the players gave a bit. Right. And each side gave a little bit, but so ultimately the deal, it didn't really change all that much. I mean, the variance thing was kind of a no-brainer, but I don't think the players were against that in the first place. That could have been agreed upon. So what did they really win, the owners?
the 50%. I mean, going from 57% to 50% for the players' salaries. That's a pretty big thing.
That's what it's going to get to, right? Yeah. So you had what, 50, it was 56 for the players and 44
It was 57, and then the league counters with 43. So you could tell exactly where the middle is.
Exactly. So that could have been agreed upon a long time ago. That was just a no-brainer. It was going to be a 50-50 share.
Yeah.
So, like, these things didn't need to have a lockout to get to where they are right now. They just needed to both say what was the absolute biggest compromise they were going to make. Right.
So here's another question then. I'll throw this to Father Travis because we haven't heard from you in a bit. Do you think the fans, by and large, will come back, or in certain markets more than others? Or what's your sense from the... Because you spend a lot of time with young people in the schools, Father Travis. What's your sense on that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, nobody really even cares. I mean, like what Father Jeff was saying is that, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to watch hockey. He misses it. And same thing. Everybody's just going to be like, oh, yeah, there was no hockey for the past 6 months. Why was that? And then they're going to come right back up, you know, and watch it.
No, we're going to come back. But I'm thinking of where they really were hurt last lockout was basically the price they got for selling NHL to networks in the States. They used to be on like Fox, on NBC, these different channels, and they got paid for it. Then after the last lockout, no one wanted to pay for this, so they gave it away for free or next to nothing, and it ended up being on like Outdoor Life Network.
That's a pretty big network.
These really bizarre networks. And they slowly started to build up the brand again. And then they got on some limited networks, but only in the playoffs, right?
And the Winter Classic, which was a huge thing too.
Yeah. So they started to rebuild their reputation. And just when that happened, they did this. Yeah. And that's why it's never going to get back on the network TV, which I think one of the best solutions for apologizing for fans, because we're watching hockey no matter what. To rebuild the relationship with like the TV rights, they're not going to get any money from them, from these networks or even the local networks down there. You're getting very, very little. But one of the things they could do is allow, like they have this NHL Center ice package. Mm-hmm. One of the guys on TSN was suggesting this as an apology for the fans for this short year. They should give free subscriptions to the so you can watch any NHL game, and you get this free subscription for the rest of the year.
Sure.
It would actually be a significantly small thing to do and a good gesture and even a good marketing play, because next year maybe people would want to renew a subscription for whatever the fee is, right? But that would just be like a smart marketing ploy that I think, as fans, I would appreciate that.
How about lowering ticket prices?
That's not going to happen.
No? It'd be nice. What are the tickets running at right now, Father Andrew, in Edmonton? Like say you want to go for like the cheapest nosebleed seats.
$160?
But no. I can put it out for you.
The cheapest seats are $50, $40.
Wow. Oh.
But they are horrible seats.
That's actually cheaper than the Riders, though.
Yeah, I thought they were like $160 is what I heard.
No, those are like the average good seats are $140 to $1.
Like that's like second deck between the two goal lines kind of thing?
They always have a very limited amount of like the true nosebleed seats, like at least at the Saddle Dome, the ones where you can't even see the ice technically. And they're always around $50 or so, but they're useless. You might as well sit at home. Like, but no, most seats are, you know, you're paying $160 to $200 for a good seat.
Okay. Well, that's not that different from like the Rough Riders in the CFL.
Father Jeffrey, do you want to go back to a question that you asked earlier just so that, because I have the answer in front of me?
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats too. What are the season series stats that you've got?
So regular season record has Calgary leading 94 games, 94 wins, Edmonton 89 wins.
Hold on.
Okay.
18 ties. That's including overtime and shootouts.
Since what year, Father?
No, this is from... since 1980.
Okay. Just talking about the last 10 years, though, right?
No, but Calgary's winning 94-89.
Which is surprising.
But playoff record, Edmonton leads 4-1.
And that one, of course.
Time played in the playoffs.
And even that one was because Edmonton scored the winning goal for Calgary.
Yeah, I know.
Steve Smith.
Oh, if someone could have crawled into a hole in the ice and hid, I felt bad for him. 1986. You
know, the following year when they won, or the next time they won, sorry, I should say, Gretzky gave the cup next to Steve Smith to sort of wipe away that scar.
I remember that. That was pretty good.
Classy move.
Yeah. I have to admit, I felt badly for him. Although at the time, Calgary won.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the record, Father Andrew, let's say from 2000 on till today, is the Flames, I mean, it's basically 500, okay? I don't know if I got the right stats here, because it just says the decade, but it's basically,
roughly 50-50.
Actually, you keep talking. I'll figure this out. Okay. This whole big website.
Well, even the regular, even the all-time record is not that far off. 94-89 is not that different. And I guess really it made the difference last season, because last season the Flames won all six games and swept it. So it would have been 89-88 Edmonton until last season.
Okay, well, let's keep talking about the different Canadian hockey teams, because there's a story out of Vancouver that should be an interesting one to follow, where they're trying to figure out where Roberto Luongo is going to end up. Because if you remember last season, Corey Schneider, of course, became the starting goalie. So what do they do with Luongo?
And his huge salary?
His huge salary.
Didn't he waive his no-trade clause or not?
I don't know if he waived it outright. I'm just trying to look it up. Luongo. I think he still has like some say as to where he goes.
He'll still have to give like the actual green light for the team, but he's told the GM, he said that, well, at least publicly he said this, that he told him he's to make the deals he needs to do. And like, he's basically, you know, he's going to say he's going to line up a few options and then go back to Luongo, and then Luongo will probably say which one he wants to take.
Okay.
If he wants to take him.
Cause I know that there's rumors.
Take a deal, but, he's not going to go to Edmonton if it was offered, but he'd probably go to Florida as the real choice. He has a house there, right?
He has a house. His wife's from there.
He wants to be there. So
yeah, I think I had also heard that he's willing to go to Toronto, which is the other team that always keeps coming up.
They asked him if Toronto was interested, would you consider going there? And he said, "Yo, I respect that. I like Toronto, blah, blah, blah." And he was just trying to appease all the Toronto Sports Network people. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, actually, the thing is I was about to make a comment, but then I remembered that we have old friends like John from New Brunswick who might actually take offense to any comment I would make. So they're keeping them off the shot.
Well, he's going to take offense to everything that we make. Don't worry.
I would make a comment about Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs already.
Ooh.
That's what I saw on Facebook.
Yeah, they've already lost one game.
Yeah, they did.
If Toronto got Luongo, though, because of the way the East is and even their division, they could make the playoffs. It's that big of a difference. Like, their team isn't all that very good. Like, they got a young team, but with a solid goaltender. It's sort of like the Flames situation. With Kipper, the Flames actually could slip in to one of those last playoff spots. But without them, they're bottom of the basement. Same with Toronto. You put Luongo or a Kiprasov on Toronto, yeah, they could squeak into the 7th, 8th place. So that's my prediction. That's why it makes sense for Toronto to get them. But it's sort of a short-term solution.
Mm-hmm. No, I think they got it. Definitely Toronto has a shot. Absolutely. The one last year that really surprised me, and I think surprised a lot of people, was Ottawa making the playoffs and pushing the Rangers to the brink.
Yeah. No, that was a big surprise. Alfredson, the story with Alfredson is he's considering retirement either this year or next year. And so he's 40 right now.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of, that's going to be an interesting story.
But that's where the 48-game season is going to help him, though.
There's a lot of things, because it's a short season, is really going to change stuff, like with the Flames or like with the Alfredson situation. But with the Flames, for example, Kiprasov might actually be able to play almost every game. If you look at the backup records of the goalies in the Flames, like when Kipper's out, I mean, each year of the last few years, if Kipper could have played every game, they would be in the playoffs all these years. Like the backup record was like 2-8, and they missed by 4 points, right? And like, so it's an interesting factor. And then with Ottawa, you might also get guys around the league that are thinking about retirement but are willing to stick around for like one run, like a short season. So it's kind of neat.
Wouldn't they have retired in the summer?
Yeah, but the thing was, like, he was dealing sort of with an injury, I guess, and then and he was going to kind of play it by ear. And then when I guess he recovered fine, but then also, you know, it was sort of like a tentative. I don't think he's going to retire. The thing is, though, whether he might not even retire after this year, right? Because this is a test year to see how he is doing physically, and they might play him a bit less and different role than usual.
And if you remember in the summer, the writing was on the wall that there was going to be a lockout. Like, that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know what the story went there. I think it's more like, will he retire after this year? Is this his last year? And and also what his role looks like. But they're just, the coach, McLean, was basically saying, you know, some guys, you know, it might be because the schedule will be more condensed. That some guys might, you know, they might not be able to play every night, right? Or they might have to have a lesser role, and that's fine. That's just part of the adjustment that they're going to have to make. And that goes with every team, right? There's going to be some guys that aren't going to be able to play every night or every second night. constantly and then going making a run into playoffs too.
All right. So moving on to, oh, we skipped over the Winnipeg Jets, went straight to Ontario.
I like the Jets.
They got Olli Jokinen now.
Yeah, well, that I don't agree with. That's not a deal that makes sense for Winnipeg.
But, well, you don't think they need a little bit of veteran presence, though?
Yeah, but he's not the kind of veteran presence that they need. Like, Jokinen, he seems like a nice guy and all, but he's kind of an empty uniform. Like, he's not a true... He's not the kind of guy they need. Like, Winnipeg is like, they got to go for the gritty, underrated kind of guys that are trying to make something. They feed off the crowd kind of stuff. Jokinen doesn't do that.
I mean, how many...
He's a Finn. They don't do that. They do their job and they go home.
Okay,
what about Timo Salani?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he did his job and then he went to someone else, some other home, right?
But Olli Jokinen did get 23 goals last year. Like, yeah. So he does do something. He was minus 12, mind you, so that's probably part of the problem. but yeah, 23 goals, 38 assists. So, I mean, he was producing points, but the minus 12 probably isn't a good thing.
That's what I mean. Pavel Bure, when he was scoring 70 goals, was scoring a lot of points. He also was negative every year, and they criticized him as not being a good team player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Father Jeffrey had to step out for just a little bit.
So, Father Darrell, why don't you comment on your family's favorite team? I'm not talking about your father's, but the rest of your family. Why don't you talk about them?
Because
we haven't talked about them yet.
We have not talked about the Montreal Canadiens, and I know we have listeners who are diehard Canadiens fans. I got to say, I'm really interested in watching them this year because there's actually a former parishioner of mine who plays on that team now, so... So I'm really looking forward to watching Colby Armstrong playing again this year. I hope he can get past the injuries that he had last season. The Montreal Canadiens, I think, Carey Price, I think their goalie situation is just fine. Who knows if Markov is going to be, he's had a lot of injury bug as well.
It is interesting that, you know, both of us, well, actually I shouldn't say that I have a parishioner because it was before my time that he left, but Sheldon Surrey for the Dallas Stars was baptized in Fishing Lake.
Oh, okay.
And then you have Mark Letestu, who's from Elk Point. So
yeah.
All right, back. Sorry.
So we're just talking about the Montreal Canadiens and what their prospects are.
Yeah,
because I know we have a lot of listeners who follow them.
Abs.
Father Travis, what do you have to say about the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, I just smile and laugh every time I hear that name because they're a bunch of loyal fans. However, we all know the Mallettes are, you know, diehards, and it's sad to see, but it's okay. It's if they want to cheer for...
Okay, Father Travis, with all due respect, you could have taken the exact words you've just said, replaced it with a certain CFL team, and that's something I never would have said.
Oh, with all due respect, never.
that's a little insulting to the Habs. They've won how many Stanley Cups championships? Yeah. I don't think the Riders I mean, we got crazy fans and all, but we don't have the team that would be as historic.
Hey, so the question is, how many Habs fans does it take to change a light bulb? 10. 1 to change the light bulb and 9 to talk about how good the old light bulb worked.
There we go.
That's good. That's good.
Well, I look forward to actually seeing the comments on this podcast from all the angry Habs fans.
I thought it was going to be something like 1 to change the light bulb, 2 to comment on how great it used to be, and then the other... 6 shouting random epithets and slurs at the players on the ice.
That's pretty close.
Until they destroy their career and are traded to another team that wins a championship. Like that's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably one of those places to play. It's probably kind of like the Riders in that you're just in this total fishbowl.
I think it's worse.
Worse, yeah. Far more people.
There's a greater negative. The Riders... Okay, the McKellum thing, that was bad, but that was not...
So this is going back to what was the year, 2004?
Yeah.
Paul McKellum had like a chip shot field goal to get the Riders into the Grey Cup, and he missed it, and some fan or something put some manure on his lawn in Regina.
Most people would Rider fans, when they start heard that they were terrible. Yeah.
So that's when McCallum went out to BC instead. Can't say I blame him. I mean, that was pretty nasty, but
yeah, but that's so like we're not mean spirited kind of fans. I think the Habs fans are a little vicious. They're a little they take it more personally, I think, than we do.
Well, I don't know.
When they fail,
there's
right?
a bit of an apples and oranges thing there, but I think there's just more of them, so it seems worse.
And there's less distance.
No, because they're winners, and when you win, and then when you taste losing.
Wait, are you suggesting the Riders aren't winners?
No, we're losers. And so when we win, we're really, really happy, but we're very faithful, loyal. But when the Habs lose and they miss the playoffs, they have the taste of victory, you know, in their lifetime. They have a resentment towards some of the players, and I think there's a bit more of a negative resentment than you get from the Riders. And we're always like, next year. We're just happy we have a team, right? We don't take anything for granted. That's why we have a gopher as a mascot, okay? Very unpresuming creature. He's just happy that you're there and you show up.
Dig holes, break your ankle if you run into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to have lots more to talk about hockey now that they're actually playing in the NHL. So we'll have to save a few things for the next episodes, but we've at least mentioned all the Canadian teams by name, I think.
What about the Quebec Nordiques?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So who's going to move to Quebec? Yeah. Is that going to be Phoenix?
Phoenix, yeah. I don't know. How about we write a special memo to Gary Bettman and ask him about how the Nordiques are doing? And we'll go from there.
Oh,
dear. I think they need a rink yet. But once they get a rink, I don't think it'll be a problem.
I think there's going to be a second team in Toronto before there's a team goes to Quebec. That's, to be honest, possibility. Yeah.
That'd be all right.
Yeah. It'd be very good for the league and probably good for the Leafs to have some competition in that market. Actually.
Well, there's Buffalo.
It's a real competition.
Oh, okay, fine. Picky.
Hey, when they had Dominic Hasek, they were bad. Of course, they still can't win a Stanley Cup, but that's another story.
Mayday. All right, so there was, just moving from the NHL for a little bit, there were some football games happening. In the NFL, it was a playoff game that I think one of us was following a little more closely.
I deny any NFL games over the past weekend.
So how did your Vikings do?
They decided not to play.
Yeah, okay. They lost.
It was terrible. Like, I can't believe they, first of all, I was actually surprised they made it into the wild card game. So I was happy about that, because I was like, they've actually got playoff chances. But then they were in their division competition against the Packers. The Packers are pretty much like the Rough Riders, and it was in Green Bay. And so we got destroyed, absolutely decimated.
Go Packers.
Yeah, it wasn't even a good game.
Now, didn't they have their like a backup quarterback or something playing? Wasn't following.
Yeah, that
closely.
Was even worse. Is that our guy was injured, and so we had Todd in to pitch for us. And I mean, he was a hopeful, he was a prospect, but yeah, he just. I mean, in the NFL, it's.
I got a question for you, because I'm just trying to think about it. Has there been anyone in history with the first or the last name Todd that has done anything good? It just doesn't seem like a name that of success, right? If your name's Churchill, you know, that's a good chance. Imagine if his name was Winston Todd. I don't think anything would have happened. I don't think he would have got through primary school. It's just some food for thought.
Well, although I don't think there's any logic in that, I still have to agree with you.
I mean, there's Todd Harvey.
The one of the most overrated NHL players ever played the game.
That counts. What?
I remember I had his rookie card when he came for Dallas, I think it was. Or was it the Oilers person?
I think he was Dallas, and then he moved to... Then was it Edmonton? No, he was in San Jose, wasn't
they
he?
They were talking about him like he was going to be Ray Bourque or Bobby or something.
Okay, Todd Harvey, here we go. Drafted by Dallas, and then he moved to New York.
He was
to San Jose, and then to Edmonton.
Him and Alexander Daigh were the most overrated prospects in the history of the NHL. Like, they were, like, insane. But they, like, Alexander Daigh was going to be the next Yzerman or something or whatever. And then and he was Harvey was supposed to be, like, Ray Bourque, Paul Coffey. Completely useless guys, right?
I was going they're way better than I was, but anyway.
I don't know about that, but no one called you Ray Bourque, okay? So.
Oh, maybe I called me Ray Bourque.
Okay.
But probably me, not.
More like Todd Bourque.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so then there were a bunch of college football games.
Indeed.
Father Travis, did you watch any of the bowl games?
Yeah, I watched the whole day.
Yeah. Enjoyable?
Actually, the first game was, but the rest were kind of one-sided.
Yeah. So what was the first game that you watched? Which one was that one?
Oh, crap. I got to pull that up again. It wasn't the Orange Bowl. It was the Capital One, I think, was the first game.
Okay.
And it was actually quite entertaining. A lot of good competition. But the rest of the games, exactly like the Vikings loss.
I think we should all support Chick-fil-A Bowl and the Chick-fil-A organization that has supported the traditional definition of marriage and have been ostracized from the community because of it.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then last night there was another game.
Yes.
A couple lesser-known teams.
There wasn't a game last night either.
That's true, yes. Notre Dame and Alabama. Alabama hung on for the win.
Yeah, it was actually bad.
Hung on.
I know there are some Notre Dame fans who listen, and I've also got a lot of friends who are fans of Notre Dame. Very disappointed.
Yeah, no, I was cheering for them, but okay, it was a bad game, and you're just happy that they had a great season, and they were the underdog. But then I was looking at the fans, and I just got sick to my stomach because there was like 80,000 people, and probably 30,000, let's say, are Irish fans. And then I was looking at the ticket prices and what it would cost to get a ticket. Like some of those people, it was like $2,000 to $7,000 per ticket.
Wow!
So just doing some math here.
That's a car.
Old calculator. Let's say 30,000 times the average of, let's just say $450 a ticket. That's cheap. That means there is like $14 to $15 million of tickets. Sad ticket people right there.
$13.5 million, if that's your
$13.5 million at $450 a ticket. I think it was more than that actually, but
I would just suspect.
Let's say just conservatively $13.5 million of sadness.
Hey, Father Darrell, who did you cheer for in that game?
I probably because I know more people who cheer very much for Notre Dame. I was kind of pulling for them, but I couldn't really watch a whole lot of the game because it was. It was just such a boring game to watch, to be perfectly honest. Well,
I think your dedication will become even stronger once you're one of their alumni.
Alrighty.
$13.5 million of sadness.
Yes, or so. Round it up to 14.
That's quite a way to look at it. I mean, but still, I mean, we know the South has traditionally been way better with football. It just... Man, I can't believe we had an undefeated season up north with Notre Dame.
Speaking of some sadness and whatnot, so the World Junior Championships did not end well for Canada.
There was a World Junior Championship?
They won all of the games except for the two that they really needed to win.
Yeah. America's won how many years now in a row?
In a row? One.
But like they've been in the finals for...
But Sweden won last year.
Sweden won last year against who? Canada?
No.
And in Russia the year before
Canada,
that.
This is the second year in a row Canada didn't make it to the gold medal game.
Yeah. No, anyways, I was going to say in the last five World Juniors, U.S. has been doing pretty good. Like they won in Saskatoon, right? They won in Edmonton. They upset us. And then they won again here. So like 3 out of 5 years, I think.
In Edmonton. Yeah, I mean, the Americans definitely had, I think they were the strongest team in the little bits that I did see this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the part of the problem with the time change, I didn't really watch, actually, I didn't watch any of the games live just because of the time difference.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive. Like, we had a little dynasty going for those, well, two couple dynasties for 5 years or whatever where we won. And the U.S. is doing it. They surprised me. I wasn't expecting, especially the way they started. to go on. And then in Canada, I actually, to be honest, I was not very confident with Subban in goal. Not that he necessarily lost them the tournament. He just was not ever going to be. You know, Canada never wins if they don't have really solid goals.
I don't think the Canada beats the U.S. in the first in that one game, though, unless he's in net.
Yeah, he had one good game. I don't know. I watched every game, and he only had one game where he seemed like he was clearly a factor in the game. The other games, he was sort of like average or really bad. Like he didn't really. I mean, whenever we have solid goaltending, we win. And he wasn't solid; he was just okay. Like, okay, so I kind of expected them. I was hoping they were gonna maybe win that bronze game or at least make it to the finals. Yeah. Even, but I didn't think they were gonna win this year.
Well, I mean, once again, another game against Russia goes to 6-5.
Yep.
But yeah. I mean, I think what this really speaks to, though, is the parity that exists, because there's a lot of parity in the. In the world now, with even Switzerland, I mean, game was like that they lost was like a one goal game.
Yeah, like Switzerland took Russia to the shootout, and then Russia beat Canada. So like that's huge. Like that's not a. And then Russia was even against Slovakia for a while in that game. They were losing, and it was really cut close. It was quite. I agree that the parity in the World Juniors is big difference in the last few years. So it's good.
It's very good. Yeah, for sure. And then one other big news item that I saw is that Toronto signed a new pitcher.
Toronto what?
The Blue Jays. The Blue Jays of Toronto.
Oh, I thought like the Leafs got some water jugs or
something. Yeah, exactly. No. I don't know. I saw a big. Let me just call up the story here, because you know this is January and it's perfect time to talk about baseball. R.A. Dickey, former Cy Young winner, he was acquired from the Mets last month and he signed. He was formally introduced today.
His name is Dickey?
Yep.
Oh, that's even worse than Todd.
Well, this guy's a Cy Young winner though.
Yeah, but still.
Knuckleball thrower.
What was his first name? Was it Todd?
R.A. I have no idea what that means. It's R period Roger, A period.
Roger Arnold Todd Dickey. That's probably his name.
Could be. Probably not, but it could be.
Just call me Todd for short.
Anyway, it's great to get back into these episodes once again, and great that we actually have hockey to talk out, not goings on in a boardroom. I'm very excited for that.
Me too.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
And
with that, we know that the show is pretty much over. So thank you very much for joining us today.
From all of us here at the Sports Fathers, keep your stick on the ice.
And with your spirit. Have a good one, everyone. Hello and Merry Christmas and welcome to the Sports Fathers. I am Father Daryl Millett in snowy Watson, Saskatchewan. It is January the... Oh, for crying out, I got to do that again. 8th. Hello and welcome to the Sports Fathers. I'm Father Daryl Millett in... Oh, for crying out loud, I can't talk today. Somebody else want to do this?